Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry. Lori Walsh is off today. The Farmers Business Network has expanded in Sioux Falls. Last week, the Chamber of Commerce held a ribbon cutting, and SDPB's Jacqueline Severin was on hand and joins us now with an overview. Jacqueline, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So give us a quick introduction of the Farmers Business Network.
Yes. Okay. So like, as you said, they just expanded their headquarters in Sioux Falls. So I was there at the ribbon cutting. They moved to a new location, bigger building. The Chamber obviously was also there. Their Sioux Falls Mayor Paulton Hankin also stopped by for that event as well, so I talked to him. And a little bit of background on Farmers Business Network. So they're a national company, but they're a startup, and their headquarters is here in Sioux Falls. They were founded about 4 years ago in 2014. They have 100 employees here in Sioux Falls. Altogether, they have about 300 employees scattered throughout the U.S. and a few in Canada. And their main focus is on data sharing for farmers. They have a data sharing platform for farmers. Farmers pay an annual membership, and they can choose to share their data or not. If they're a member, they don't have to. But the idea is that they will share their data, and then they can pool that data information and resources and do analysis and give that information out to their members. And so I sat down and talked with one of the co-founders of Farmers Business Network. His name is Charles Barron. And he says this gives farmers access to unbiased information so they can make better decisions about their farm and about their business.
Farm income's gone down 46% in the last 5 years. Input costs have stayed very high. In fact, they rose up until 2016. Farmers are facing a credit crunch. They've got a trade issue on their hand right now, and they've had weak commodity prices. And that picture has put enormous pressure on their finances. Okay, so what we do is allow farmers to share data, price information, performance information, genetic identity of seeds, and to give them more options. We create e-commerce and we do price transparency, meaning they can see what a fair market price actually is for seeds or chemicals and purchase it online at enormous savings.
So Farmers Business Network has grown rapidly since they started 4 years ago. Barron says they started out with 3 farms. They now have 7,000 farms. The company has expanded their services as well. Barron says they now sell seed and chemicals, and they have launched their own line of seed. And the company also offers financing for farmers, and they have just recently started offering health insurance as well.
Wow, so a wide range of services and a wide range of information that they share. That's really interesting. How might that impact the agricultural industry as a whole?
It is interesting because they do have a potential to maybe kind of disrupt what's going on in the ag industry right now. Speaking with Charles Barron, he said he's really just, this company is all about focusing on the farmers, maybe trying to bring about a new farm economy for farmers, and leveling the playing field for farmers. So Barron says, a lot of this agricultural information and data that is out there right now is controlled by big ag companies that don't have farmers' interests in mind. And he says that's what's led to poor farm income.
Just take an issue like seeds and chemicals. It's a $26 billion industry in North America. There are almost no prices that are put online. That's the lack of price transparency. There's almost no consumer market that's that big with that lack of information out there. Yet that's what farmers are forced to deal with every year. And consequently, they spend billions of dollars excessively on things like seed and chemical that could be going back into their pockets.
So an impact on the agricultural industry, but also have to imagine having this headquarters here in Sioux Falls has an impact on the city, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, as I said earlier, Sioux Falls Mayor Paulton Hankin was there, and I got to sit down and talk to him as well. And obviously, he says this is great for Sioux Falls because it brings good, high-quality jobs. It's a good fit, obviously, for the state and Sioux Falls because of the, agriculture aspect and also bridging, combining technology and agriculture. Ten Hankin said that this really gives validation that a technology company can grow and be successful in the Midwest and not just in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. And he hopes that, and thinks that this will bring other tech businesses to the city.
you have kind of this effect, a domino effect, where when another company sees a tech company being successful in a community, they want to come in and dovetail off that success too. And so it kind of begets more success, if you will. And so I look for other companies to look at FBN and say, hey, they're doing it in Sioux Falls. How can we make it a go in Sioux Falls?
And Tenhaken also says this could attract other startups, you know, not just startups that are not just companies and startups that are focused on tech and ag, but hopefully other startups to come here and consider Sioux Falls for their headquarters.
One thing that Sioux Falls is looking to do from an economic development standpoint is bring more corporate headquarters to Sioux Falls. Doesn't mean all your employees have to be here, but your corporate hub can be here and the spokes can be employees in remote parts of the country and even the world. And so that's something that our administration is actually talking to several companies right now who are looking to move to Sioux Falls and want their headquarters in Sioux Falls, but they have employees all over the country. So this is the modern model of the workplace, especially in technology, to have employees all over an area, but have a corporate hub somewhere, and FBM embodies that.
So do we have an idea of what other kinds of companies Sioux Falls might be courting, or too soon to tell just yet?
I think it's too soon to tell just yet. Like he said, I think he's hoping that he did talk a little bit about technology companies, obviously, and just... Well, with tech, and I know he kind of wanted other Sioux Falls or other businesses to come here, but with tech specifically, because we have Dakota State University, there is a pool of potential employees for tech companies. FBN said too, the other universities around in South Dakota and around the state, you know, so we have USD, we have SDSU, but we also have Lincoln. There's schools in Minnesota, North Dakota, obviously, that they have drawn a lot of good employees from too. So that's a good potential to have all sorts of types of industries come here.
Right, a big potential, and this could feasibly be the first step in kind of courting some of those other industries as
right,
well.
Right, exactly.
And so, of course, another piece of this economic development is the workforce shortage. How does this expansion kind of address some of what we're seeing in the state from a workforce shortage perspective?
Exactly, yeah. And that's a good question, because workforce shortage is still a big problem for us, for not only Sioux Falls, but South Dakota in general. Mayor Tenhaken did talk about this too. And the workforce shortage is really kind of one of our biggest obstacles in getting more businesses here, and especially getting more startups that would potentially have their headquarters here. Tenhaken says, you know, it's such a big issue that South Dakota just really needs to continue, and Sioux Falls does too, just to continue to try and attract more people to move here.
You know, the biggest challenge with workforce is that people are having less children, families are smaller, the workforce pool is just shrinking. And some of that is being met with enhancements in automation and robotics and AI and other things. But we have to make Sioux Falls a city where someone graduates from a school in Tallahassee, Florida, and they say, hey, I've heard great things about Sioux Falls, South Dakota. They got a great cost of living. They're doing some really progressive things with their transit. They got great parks. They got low crime. They got good schools. They got good infrastructure. So that's where the city comes into play. How do I help make a city that embodies those characteristics that people want to come and live in? And I think we've done that, but I think there's more we can do to make this city attractive to workers.
And maybe part of that attraction to businesses is also seeing the buy-in of the community. And you can see that in part by events like this ribbon cutting that you went to last week. Can you kind of tell us, paint a picture of the scene? Was it well attended?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, that day coincided with one of FBN's Farmer Business Networks. They have like a regional summit where they kind of bring all their employees from across the state there. Members from the community were there. The chamber was there, and it was pretty exciting atmosphere. And it was cool just to talk a little bit with the employees that came in from all over the U.S. There's people from California, and of course they complain a little bit about the cold, obviously. But they talked about the company too, and I think they're all really excited about the growth this company has seen, and those in the chamber and the community are just excited about, you know, the impact that they that this is will potentially have on Sioux Falls. Yeah, just a huge amount of excitement and wondering, you know, what's going to be next for this company, because it sounds like, you know, it looks like they're going to be big. And mm-hmm. it's going to be a big deal for Sioux Falls.
Right. So that's interesting, having kind of people from all over the country. Like you said, this is kind of the model for companies now. Mm-hmm. You've got people all over the place, spread to the winds, and headquartered in one central place. I don't know how much you were able to talk to some of those people from around the country, but what were some impressions that they had about Sioux Falls? Like, is it a surprise to them that... Are they kind of the Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where's that kind of situation? Or are we kind of in that zeitgeist almost of economic development now?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting, because no one, whereas before, maybe in past events, and we've been like, yeah, Sioux Falls, whatever, you know, no, that didn't come up like as a, where the heck is Sioux Falls? So maybe we
where
are, yeah, where am I? So maybe we are getting a little bit more, you know, just known in the U.S. Who knows? I'm not sure, but that didn't come up. You know, they all kind of were familiar. I think they had been there before, they didn't that day. I think they were all kind of there that day at the region or at the regional summit and everything. So I don't know how much time they had to mm-hmm. actually go around Sioux Falls or mm-hmm. anything. I know the co-founder Charles Barron. Actually lives in California, so he was there and just had really great things to say about Sioux Falls. And obviously, you know, they chose that area because they chose here because of the connection with agriculture. You know, all the employees that they get are pretty much from those universities that I said before, SDSU and North Dakota and Nebraska. So, and you know, he says you hire these students, and even Dakota State University, you hire these students, and they all have a connection to agriculture. And so it just made sense for them to have their headquarters here and be based here. So that's really great for Sioux Falls.
Great. So taking a little pivot, when you're not attending ribbon cuttings and doing the beat reporting for our business and economic development, you're also hosting our SDPB program, Making a Living.
Yes.
And this is a monthly program. We've got our next one coming up tomorrow afternoon in our downtown Sioux Falls studio. The topic is going to be veterans in business. So let's take a second just to go over a little bit of that show and maybe who we can expect to hear from tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. So like you said, the focus is on veterans in business. And so I'm going to be talking, we have some people from the Small Business Administration there, and they just recently went through, they were kind of affected by the government shutdown, so there was a moment last week when we weren't sure if we were going to have those folks there or not, to be honest, but they will be there since the government has reopened, so that's really great,
right?
Because they have, yeah, yeah.
Valuable insight for this
exactly.
situation.
Yes, yes, and so we maybe even get into a little bit, who knows, on that, but you know, they also have great programs and assistance for veterans who want to start their own businesses. And so we'll talk about the issues maybe veterans have, but also resources for veterans who want to maybe take that plunge into entrepreneurship. We're also going to not just focus on veterans who want to start their own businesses, but maybe some unemployment issues. And although veterans seem to be doing okay unemployment wise, still obviously they're coming back from deployment. There's always, you know, there's that gap. Maybe you have an employment gap or issues looking for employment or finding jobs or maybe transitioning back into, you know, work and life in as a civilian, you know. So we'll be talking about those issues as well. And we have some representatives from the South Dakota Department of Labor and Regulation and also South Dakota Department of Veterans Affairs. So they'll be talking about their resources as well to help veterans transition and find work as well. So that is Making a Living is, like you said, a monthly program. That's going to be tomorrow, Tuesday, January 28th at 4:30 PM, here in the Sioux Falls studio. And it's open to the public. Mm-hmm. So we really like people, to come in and join us at the studio, because they have an opportunity to ask questions themselves and interact with those folks on our panel. And it just makes for, you know, better discussion. So if you can, please come down, especially if you are a veteran or know somebody who's a veteran or are married to a veteran. We're going to cover all of that. Or you're an employer and you're wondering, how can I help veterans? Please come down and share in the discussion in that. If you can't come to the studio, we do live stream it. So it's live streamed at sdpb.org/live. You know, that's always a great way to get that information as well.
Right. If you can't visit our beautiful downtown Sioux Falls brand new studio, we'd love to have you. But, you know, online is pretty close. So
yeah.
That's great.
And we post it, you know, on Facebook and on our website as well after it's all done. So there is opportunities to see it again if you can't be there live or be there in person or watch it live streamed. So.
Great stuff. My guest is SDPB's Jacqueline Severin. Jacqueline, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.